Hey everybody, this is So Many Sequels. I'm Josh.
I'm Garrett.
And I'm David.
Welcome to the show. It is A24 April here on So Many Sequels, here on our YouTube channel and podcast feed. Be sure you subscribe to the show, whether it's in your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube, and you will get those reviews as we release them throughout the month. But today we're going to talk about what we've been watching lately, what we've heard in the news lately. There's been some movie news to talk about. Some new trailers have dropped. But I want to kick things off by ending a sort of accidental trilogy that we have created here, where I have now completed the prophecy and watched Tombstone over the course of 3 days.
I love it.
But not for lack of trying. It's just long, and I was watching it at night. I get tired. But I did. I watched Tombstone, and you guys were right. It's a great movie. I had seen it when I was younger. Didn't remember a lot about it. Forgot about how many like iconic moments come from that movie. That's fun. It's just... this is like neither here nor there, and it's like a very personal experience. But I am rewatching Lost right now also. And I don't remember his name, but when John Locke shows up, Mr. Locke, in that movie, while I'm watching it in that show, knowing what I know about Lost, I was very uncomfortable with it. It felt like the island was talking to me, telling me to go back.
I had that same moment because I didn't know that he was in there, too, because I went in a deep dive on that cast, right? Because it starts off, and I was like, is that young curly-haired man Michael Rooker? Surely not. He's been bald since he was born. He's never had hair a day in his life, Michael Rooker. And sure enough, it was a young, strapping Michael Rooker. And so when Locke showed up in there, I had the same situation of like, is that Locke? Like, it was very weird and strange.
Terry O'Quinn, that's his name. Had to check. Respect to Terry O'Quinn.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's just very coincidentally weird to me that happened. But you're right, it's a stacked deep cast. You look at it's at the Wikipedia page, and like Billy Bob Thornton is so far down that it's insane. Billy Zane, he's a great character actor.
Billy Zane, we didn't mention him in the last few conversations.
Forgot about Billy Zane.
Val Kilmer is something else in this. Very odd man.
Yes,
he plays Doc Holliday as. And they're just like, I don't know, the boys. It's just the boys. They're always like walking
cool
in a line together,
cool crimes.
Up against cool the sunset.
Cool. Yeah.
They're just like bullying people in town too. Earp just goes in there and he's just like, this is my table now. You know, leave. Like, just starts. When he's just slapping Billy Bob Thornton around, and you just feel kind of like bad for him almost.
You too.
You know? He was such a... So, because he's just smacking him, and he goes, you going to do anything? You're just going to stand there and bleed. Oh, gosh.
That's such a good line.
That's such a good line.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Billy Bob talked a lot of talk, and he finally met somebody who stood up to him, and that's what you do to a bully.
It is the ultimate F-around to find out type movie.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, my favorite moment, I told David this at the movie yesterday, is you tell him I'm coming, and you tell him hell's coming with me. That's like, I want to live by that somehow as a motivator.
Rampage.
You
should get it tattooed on your chest, just right
no
here.
No regrets.
Just right across. No regrets.
You tell him else coming with me. I just got a monologue here. I'd be into that. I don't know. I don't have any tattoos. I feel like that's a painful spot. It's very thin.
Oh, your chest? Yeah, that's what I understand.
I'm not into.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It scares me. I don't like to hurt.
Mine is on the shoulder where the guy told me you ever bump into a door, and I said yeah. I said you're fine.
Yeah, little,
it's not gonna
little
hurt.
Meteor over there, in the chest.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
I'm glad. I'm really glad that we all were able to enjoy Tombstone independently and together at the same time. That's the great thing about this show.
It's bizarre.
You bring a movie to a table, and you might just inspire somebody else to watch it. So I'm really glad. That random watching of Tombstone on Hulu streaming right now, made it around the table.
Yeah,
good for you, boys,
for sure, for sure. And if you're currently watching us right now, you should also check out Tombstone, or leave your movie recommendations in the comments below.
Yeah,
because that's
help us.
But I've been saying this for a long time, ever since I joined Letterboxd. Help us expand our film horizons as much as possible.
This is a book club for movies. All suggestions are welcome. Yep. Bring them to the table so we can share our opinions and movies, and we can watch alike. See,
that's right.
I'm gonna make it work.
That's right. Now, Gary, you watched a couple movies too. You watched some classics.
Yeah.
Empire Records. That's a bit of a cult classic.
Empire Records definitely a cult classic.
Tell us about these two movies you watched. And
yeah, so
I just kind of trailing off.
That's fair enough. I watched Empire Records, and would you believe it was my first time of watching Empire Records, and I really enjoyed it. You know, it hits all my boxes. '90s indie rebellious attitude, teenagers angst. It's it was the Breakfast Club of the '90s.
I'm looking on the poster. I'm looking on the poster. There's a dog wearing headphones, and that says Garrett movie all over.
Exactly. We've got Liv Tyler, Renee Zellweger, Anthony LaPaglia with some of the most beautiful hair, truly, that I've ever seen. Mm. You know, it was gorgeous. it's not, you know, it's just kind of fun. If you're going in this looking for something, you know, deep and whatever, you're probably not going to get it unless you're a teenager. You know, then you might be inspired by something. But, you know, having lived through it probably didn't have that same impact, but it was still a ton of fun. Yeah, I definitely see why it's a cult classic. You know, have you guys seen it?
Yeah, it's another one I haven't seen in a hot minute. I think a friend had me watch it in high school.
Yeah.
I'm really not certain. It feels like a movie I would have caught glimpses of on television. But I don't remember ever actually seeing the whole thing. But like, I'm looking at screen grabs here, and it looks familiar, but I don't remember anything specific.
Yeah. It's right. You know what? It's fun. I would recommend it one of those where if you haven't seen it and you've heard a bunch about it, it's definitely worth checking out. If you have seen it, you probably want to watch it again. I also watched Out of Time, which is a Denzel Washington movie. Have you guys ever heard of this movie?
You always hear. When did it come out?
2003.
Does not.
Ooh,
well,
I like the poster.
Doesn't sound familiar.
I've seen this movie before, and it was like peak Denzel when he was coming out with all of his high intense action movies, and this is one that I had forgotten about. And so it stars a wild range of cast, which includes Denzel Washington, but also Ava Mendez, Dean Cain, which was unfortunate. One more person who I can't remember, but basically, you know, Denzel Washington is a chief of police in this small town, Miami. His ex-wife, Eva Mendez, is made detective and is investigating some kind of thing happening. Well, you know, Denzel Washington involved with Dean Cain's woman, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's this drug money that Dean ends up with there. It's this whole thing. He steals the money, gives it to the woman. They conned him. And then he's trying to get the money back before the detectives find out that he's the one that stole it, you know. So he's not a good guy, but you're rooting for him the whole time. And yada, yada, yada. The ex-wife and Denzel Washington get back together at the end for no real reason other than, you know, they were back within each other's vicinity. It's a wild, crazy, stupid movie, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Now, Garrett, is this a cool guys doing cool crimes kind of movie?
It's got Denzel Washington and heists. Of course it is. It doesn't get cooler than cool guys when you put Denzel in there, especially 2003 Denzel. Come on.
Oh, man. Can you imagine Denzel in an Oceans movie? That would have been fantastic.
That would have been amazing.
And imagine.
Speaking of which, I'll round out our thing by just saying I rewatched the entire Oceans franchise again this week.
Wonderful.
That was my
thing.
That. I can only say cool guys so many times before I sit down and watch Oceans.
I think so. It leads into it.
It's true. We saw some new trailers come out recently. I want to talk about a few of those. Just real quick off the top here. There's already been some Quiet Place Day One trailers that have come out. There's another one now you might see in theaters. You can go back and listen to our review of A Quiet Place
and A Quiet Place Part Two
at SoManySequels.com or on our YouTube channel. I'm sure you can expect probably a review of this one, too. We haven't really gotten that far, but I would be surprised if we didn't at least talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's coming. But then The two couple I really want to talk about, because it is A24 April. There's a couple A24 movies that are coming out later this year. The first one is a movie called I Saw the TV Glow. And I don't know anything about it other than the trailer. And I got to say, it's one of those trailers where I don't feel I know anything about it after watching it, other than I want to see that. It looks cool. They crawl into a TV. What do you guys think? How'd you feel about it?
I missed this trailer.
Oh, is this when you took a bathroom bathroom break?
Yeah, this is I ran to the bathroom. Oh, well, then, Garrett, what did you think? This week. So I don't know anything about it.
I agree with you, Josh. It looks really fun. Looks weird. It looks like a movie that's written for me.
Yep.
And again, A24 knows how to push all of the buttons that I enjoy when it comes to producing their weird indie movies specifically. Go see our review of Swiss Army Man if you want to understand that one a little more too. So I really like when they do movies like this. And Josh, you and I are talking a little bit before off mic. You said something and it struck with me. You said it feels like a movie that Abed might make from Community. Mm-hmm. And I agree with this, and it makes me want to see it more. But I also don't want to know much more about it. I liked the trailer. I might watch the trailer again.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I just want to go see it.
Yeah, same. Any movie that's just like about a TV-obsessed person, I think has got to be Abed. Abed would make this movie in Community. I had the same reaction, and I pulled up the synopsis here on Letterboxd to just give us a better grasp of it. It says, teenager Owen is just trying to make it through life in the suburbs when his classmate introduces him to a mysterious late-night TV show, a vision of a supernatural world beyond their own. In the pale glow of the television, Owen's view of reality begins to crack. So I'm into it.
Looks cool.
Yeah, sounds super cool.
Go check out that trailer, wherever trailers are seen. Set.
No. I'm looking at these. Look at these trailer screen grabs. That looks
a little too spooky for you. Well, yeah.
And that was the thing. It felt like it was going to be spooky, but it also never really got scary. It just got cool. It got cool, spooky, kind of like Ghostbusters, but different.
The poster I'm seeing is reminiscent of like Poltergeist, with the little girl in front of the TV. So I think that's probably where that's coming from. But we'll see if it's actually scary or more. I'm kind of leaning toward maybe a little more science fiction with some horror elements based on the trailer. But anyway.
I do like Justice Smith.
Yeah, Justice Smith stars, and he's...
Justice Smith is great.
I like him. He's been in some good movies. So that'll come out later this year from A24. Check that out. And then another A24 movie. This is actually the third installment of a series. We got Maxine, which is a follow-up to Pearl, which is a follow-up to X. Have you guys... I don't think you guys have seen any of those movies, have you? Okay, so just me.
No.
Josh, here's a question, though, I do have for you. Because I want to see them all.
Yeah.
Seeing the trailer for Maxine looked really freaking cool. And Pearl and X have really intrigued me, both of them.
Yeah.
Here's my question, though. Would they be a good fit for so many scares? Are they not scary? Where do they fall?
They could be a good fit, but I wouldn't expect, like, terror. It's not quite like that. But they fit our theme, but they are not like a traditional horror movie where you're going to be and they're also each different and take place in different times. So they're all pretty different. That's why I'm really interested in Maxine, because from the trailer, it looks like we're going to get maybe a 80s slasher type movie. It is set in 85, and there's that mention of a stalker or serial killer of some sort in the trailer. And the other movies also, like X had a cabin in the woods, Texas Chainsaw Massacre style slasher element, though not to that extreme, but like that's the story I felt like they were going for. So it's like each one kind of mirrors something. I think that's my interpretation anyway.
Interesting.
I'm really
intrigued.
Yeah, I don't really know anything. Would this be the first A24 trilogy? once it's completed? Like, have they done... A24 films don't really have a lot of sequels.
You know, I don't actually know. I've never looked into what movies they've done that have had sequels. I don't know if this is the only series of theirs or not. We're very... very knowledgeable.
We're very educated.
We're very educated, yeah, people.
Very
here.
Educated.
Well, I've never thought to ask that.
I haven't either.
But that's very interesting. Yeah, the trailer looked interesting. I liked all the mentions of the Night Stalker. And that was fun.
Yeah, really the main continuing element is Mia Goth. Is the character you follow in each movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I recommend Garrett check it out. I'm not going to recommend it to David. I know that it's not. It's not a David movie. Neither of them.
I'm just gonna be honest. It's not a slight to her in like an offensive way, but Mia Goth's face already has me on edge. She looks scary. So
but she's definitely got that kind of like creepy face down. She can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Look at
murderers.
I'm looking at the trailer for Pearl, and I'm already scared.
Yeah. Pearl, I actually like better than X. So if you watch X and you're like, that's okay, you'll probably like, I hope you'll like Pearl a little more, because I did.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's it, trailer-wise. All right, let's switch gears now and talk about our movie of the week, which is A24's Civil War. This week on So Many Sequels, we are talking about A24's Civil War. And as of this recording, it is opening weekend, has just wrapped up, actually. And David has the numbers of how it's done. So, David, how have opening weekend numbers for this movie been? People seem to be interested?
Oh, I would say. You know, it's been a while since we've done, we've had, like, live numbers. You know, we've had, like, you know, the weekend of numbers. And the early reporting is that Civil War, which opened this weekend, April 12th, will finish right around $25.7 million. That's the estimate right now. Could go up, could go down by a little bit. And that would be, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the highest opening weekend for any A24 film ever. So already off to a pretty, you know, historic run for the production company. $10 million on Friday, and then probably about eight and six on Saturday and Sunday. It's the number one movie of the weekend, passing up Godzilla versus Godzilla X Kong, which dropped to number two in its third weekend. Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire is at number three. Kung Fu Panda at four, and Dune Part Two still hanging in there in its seventh week, brought in $4.3 million to round out the top five. Also worth shouting out is Monkey Man. We talked about that while we were at the theater that night. Monkey Man is at number six with $4.1 million. So I'll throw that out there as well. Just if that number holds, that $25 million number holds, Civil War is already the number 12 movie of the year. If, say, it fluctuates up about a million and a half, it could be the number 11 movie of the year by first weekend. Overall, that's pretty good. Number one movie of the year. Again, Dune Part Two, Kung Fu Panda, Godzilla, X-Kong, Ghostbusters, and surprise at number one for me, Bob Marley One Love, the Bob Marley biopic is sitting at the number five spot right now. So that's all I really have for this week. This is kind of a different A24 film. I think they really wanted a big release. They wanted something that had sort of broader appeal. I think it's still... holds true to a lot of what A24 tries to do, but I think they went big with this one, and it looks like it's going to work out for the most part with a good opening weekend.
So to get started, I mean, typically on this show, one of us has picked the movie, or it's a fan pick or something, but every now and then it's a brand new movie where the only reason we picked it is because it's new. So we don't really need to give you a reason, not that you asked, but there's not one. It's a new movie.
Maybe they did.
It's because it's the newest A24 film we can find.
That's true. That is true.
It's brand new.
So if you're unfamiliar with this movie, haven't seen the trailers yet, the Letterboxd synopsis is very simple for it. In the near future, a group of war journalists attempt to survive while reporting the truth as the United States stands on the brink of civil war. This movie stars, oh my gosh, this is the one time David didn't put the cast in there.
You're good. I put some of the main cast in there.
Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, I believe, Kaylee Spaney, Nick Offerman, Jefferson White, Jesse Plemons. Interesting cast. Not like a ton of, I guess, what I would call star power. Like, they're not used in a star power way in the movie, I guess. But there's still some recognizable names. So I guess to get started here, this is a movie that I think is going to evoke a lot of feelings with people. Maybe more than a typical movie would, because of how realistic it portrays what a war in modern day America could look like. But also just touching on the real divisions in the country right now. So, yeah, to get started, what did you guys, how do you guys feel about this? What do you, before we even talk about, you know, whether we thought the movie was good or dissecting cinematography or this or that, just how do you feel about this movie?
It's one that you have to sit with, I feel like, for me. You know, there's a lot to think about as far as, you know, the three of us have passed in current, present, in news. So we've all worked in news journalism in some way, shape, or form, and that is in our background. So seeing this movie and what it presents, you know, I felt like it did a good job with what it was wanting to do. And I think it also opens the door for something else. You know, I think that there's a lot here, but I also think, you know, there can be a little bit more depth to it. I think it was definitely one where I have been thinking about it since we've left.
I would say the same. I would say that it's a film that I really like needed to, I had to ponder a lot. And because when I first came out of it, I was kind of struggling to think of really much of anything. It's a movie that it just sort of has one real through line that it's following. So like you're just pounding on that, you know, getting there. Or, you know, the journalists are trying to get to Washington D.C. So they're just trying to get there, and that and like everything, all these things that happen to them along the way, and there's not, once it gets ramped up, there's not a lot of like times to stop and think. So I was trying to like process everything that just happened. I think overall, you know, it's an interesting premise. I think it's funny the Letterboxd says the brink of war when they're actually like,
I thought that too. It's clearly deep in a war, not the brink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought the film, I mean, it looked good. It was an interesting film. It was interesting. So what I noticed was there was a lot of what we have taken for granted, I think, as dystopian imagery, cars burnt out on the highway, you know, abandoned cities and things like that. People looting, you know, random militias popping up, things that we see in like zombie movies, things we see in like, you know, post-apocalyptic kind of movies. But to see those same things sort of brought into a realistic world, like these things, like this is a world where this stuff has just happened. It's fresh. Like this is a fresh apocalypse, not really apocalypse, but you get what I'm saying. It's a fresh, world-changing event, and these things are now have a different context in this movie. So I thought that was really interesting. And we can get more into sort of like how well it utilized, I think, its goal, which is to be an, I think pretty blatantly it's an anti-war film, but we can get into the pros and cons, assess the, you know, the wins and losses in terms of executing that in a minute. But Josh, what were your first thoughts?
I was really taken by this movie pretty quickly because of how it was told. I found it pretty visceral, intense, and uniquely told. That photojournalism aspect was way more interesting to me than the more typical traditional war action movie that's like following members of the military or military strategy with generals and going back and forth between like the war. And this movie, I realized, not so much from the trailer. The trailer's a bit misleading. But after the movie, I was like, this movie's not about the war. This movie's about these journalists. And we do find out about a lot about them and kind of how they view the world. And that's what really kind of took me, because like you also said, Garrett, we all have, all three of us have experience in news in some way, shape, or form. And so we've kind of been around, not obviously not a civil war or any, we've not been around any war, but we've been exposed to this kind of photography and this kind of work. And there's a way that this film is shot sometimes where we see still images. And I thought every single one of them, I knew, like, every single one of them really just, like, sent a chill down my spine, because they felt incredibly real. So my first thoughts were, I am really uncomfortable with the reality of this movie, and kind of feel that people still might not take it seriously. Those are my first thoughts.
Well, that's
go ahead,
good.
Huh? No, I was going to say, go ahead.
That's good. Do you want to try, do you guys want to dive down now into sort of like, what you thought of, like, what did you think of the story?
Yeah. I'll continue there, because it kind of echoes what I already said a little bit. I think people will want this to be a story about the war, because that is a bit what I, again, feel the trailers were kind of offering, was more of a war story, that you might actually get to find out why there's a civil war and all that. And, like, we didn't give a spoiler warning, but spoiler alert, you're not going to get, like, a defining moment that created this civil war. You're going to hear some context in the background that you can piece together, but you're not going to get, like, solid answers of, oh, the, you know, Battle of Charlottesville is where this all started. So what you do get, though, like I said, are these journalists, and we get to see a different type of journalist in each one. Kirsten Dunst plays Lee Miller, kind of the central character here, and she is, I took her as a extremely talented photojournalist, probably in her prime of her career. And she's a war photographer. That's her job. She's been overseas and done all this, and now she's having to do it in her home country in the United States. And she's taking this from the perspective of, you know, she mentions, when I would file these photos, every time I sent them home, I considered them a warning to not let this happen here. And here we are. So you see her doing that. Then you have Jesse, who is this brand new, very young, budding journalist, who is also kind of thrust into a war in her home country. It's like, not that she's trying to dive into it as much as it's here, and so she's going to do it. So she becomes like a mentee to Lee. So you see her perspective. And you got Jefferson White's character, the old man, who is like, then I don't, their words, they're like, you're too old, you can't do this. You get to see him try to go through it. So there's just so much people and character work that I focused on way more than, like, who started the war, and is it Democrat or Republican or all that crap that I fear some people may say. That's my spiel. I'll pass the mic now.
No, I agree with you. I think audiences, and I include myself in this, we're conditioned to think, oh, I need to pick a side, you know, like there's going to be a clear right and a clear wrong, and I need to pick a side. And you even kind of see that with stuff like Dune, where people are like, no, I think that what's his name, Atreus? I don't know. I think the main character is in the right, you know, like, I think people are going to, like, expect that to be something that's put upon them. And that's not what the movie is. It's not. And I really do think that it was interesting, even though the first day I saw the trailer, I saw people whining and complaining that journalists were the heroes. And I was like, heroes, that's being generous already. But, like, we're seeing it from their perspective. And that's an interesting perspective to put it in. I think that, you know, depicting a film where you have a civil war at American soil is it's kind of funny that we haven't seen more of it, really, because, like, it's such a untapped, I think, what if, you know? America's been through a civil war before, but like it was so long ago now for us to like, it's a completely new world, you know, like what would it be like? And so in terms of like the realistic politics of it, like you said, Josh, they keep it vague. Like there's no,
they do, I mean, keep it vague. Yeah.
You get some ideas that the president overstepped his authority, but like, how did he do that?
Right.
Why would he do that? You know, the movie's not concerned. Like, as far as the movie's concerned, who cares why? Because at the end of the day, this movie isn't about who's right and who's wrong. The perspective I'm taking from Alex Garland is war is wrong.
What is it good for?
As a whole.
Absolutely nothing.
You know, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. So, like, I think that it's funny, too, because a lot of war films, even anti-war films, struggle with romanticizing war a little bit, romanticizing the life of the soldier or the nobleness of the soldier. And so like here, we don't really get that. The soldiers are part of the machine of getting this done. And so I think that's very interesting. Even like a film like Star Wars, there's that element of like, well, we're rebelling for something there, you know, and there's hope and there's resistance and all that. Like war is good because it's a mean to fix an injustice. But a movie like this is like, no, at the end of the day, like nobody's better off tomorrow. You know, nobody is like, this war isn't going to solve problems the way that people will kind of want it to, I think. So I think it's a very interesting movie from that perspective. For me, there were also, I feel like there was very few elements to me that just like stood out in a way that made me just go like, man, I really recommend this movie for this. Like, I can't think of what that one thing is for this movie where I would say like, oh, you got to see it for X or Y. So I'm struggling with that, but I think the movie works really well. But to me, in a lot of ways, it didn't excel beyond just being like a really, like a good movie.
I think this is one where you have to, the deeper you dissect it, I think the better it gets, right? I think the vagueness, you know, you can walk away thinking, oh, I want to know more. But then, you know, David, you talking about romanticizing war, you're right. Usually in most war movies, you're rooting for somebody. Whereas, again, if we're putting a civil war in here and the divisiveness of the country that we have now, you know, you're basically just playing at everybody's anger already. Mm-hmm. Like you're starting in a negative zone. And this one, those little subtle hints that they give you, you know, one of them is that the president was in his third term, which is unconstitutional. And you can see that that has stemmed from something, right? Wow. At this point in time, it is a fact that it is unconstitutional for a president to do a third term, right?
Okay.
We have one president who did that, and then they were like, hey, let's not do that again.
Right.
And then they
we
changed
did that
it
for a reason,
time, right? So the fact is the president has, in fact, breached the Constitution. He has done something wrong. These are just the facts of the movie, and it does look at it from a very factual standpoint. Right. And it relies on the audience a little bit to accept that in this movie, because you are seeing it from a journalist perspective, and it helps you keep that neutrality. It keeps that vagueness okay. But again, you have to really get down into dissecting that movie, because for me, when I see this movie, my first thought is, I do want more. I do want to know, but I don't want it from this movie. This movie was good, and I really enjoyed what they gave me and the characters that they gave me and the story that they took me on. And one of the things that I really appreciated was we live in this world now where everything is recorded. And for me, seeing all the January 6th footage and then the footage across the world that we see uploaded to social media, and I felt like this movie did a really good job of putting those moments in there. Like, it didn't feel like a movie. It felt like it was recorded footage that I had seen from a journalist who was on the scene or something like that. With the 24-hour news cycle that we live in, it puts you in there. And that part really stood out to me in how this movie was shot and what it delivered and that tenseness there, Josh. But I also, again, I said I wanted more, but I sometimes think that you start at the end and then you can zoom out, right? And I think this movie starts at the end. We don't need to know all of the situations. We just need to accept it. And then we can maybe, if A24 decides, zoom out, and then we can like see what, and then we can decide on our own or have that. But maybe that's not the movie that we needed. You know, we needed to see the end first, and then we can zoom out. But I do think that the audience is going to walk in wanting the middle part there.
I think so too. Civil War Day One. That's what we'll get soon. But I think we're all coming from it from a healthy perspective of that's not what the movie is. Let's not hold it to that standard. But I do think for a lot of people, and so if you're watching this review, you might be the type of person that might be a turnoff for you, not having sort of clear answers, that the ambiguity of things might be a turnoff. And so to those who would feel that way, just know that going in, like there's no, even the sort of the highlight of the trailer and for me, kind of the highlight of the movie, the appearance of Jesse Plemons, like you don't even know who he's with. And even if you read through like the Wikipedia article or you read through the cast list, there's no specification of who he's for. He's a random militia guy. And to me, that's honestly so reflective of what if me envisioning a civil war in America, it would be chaos. Because, yeah, you could have like the Western forces or the New People's Army or whatever. But just knowing the world, the United States we live in, there'd be a militia in every county. There would be its own thing in every city. Like you wouldn't be able, honestly, it's almost unrealistic to think you could travel from state to state and not run into more trouble.
You know, honestly, that is such a good thing to point out because they, without like spelling it out that way, they really handled that in this movie. Because I remember first thinking like, you know, even in a Civil War situation, is it really going to be that dangerous to drive from New York to D.C.? Like, really? But I'll be damned if they don't run into some kind of wild militia kind of people, like every 20 miles, it seems like. But I also wanted to add on to top of that, that's another great thing about this movie, is we meet these people along the way who almost all seem to have their own agenda in this Civil War. We run into some people who you can kind of tell are on the U.S. side, and some that are on the Western Forces side, and then some that are just like, I'm just trying to kill anyone who's trying to kill me. And then some people who are just
pretending it doesn't exist
at all. Some people who pretend it doesn't exist at all, and some people who also just want to watch realistic. The world burn, like the couple guys at the gas station who just seem to be chaos agents.
Taking advantage of the situation.
So we meet all kinds in this movie, which again really forces you to not think about picking a side. Because in the reality of it, led to this, y'all, all the sides suck. You know?
Yeah, because ultimately, in the film, I think Artigas is war just breeds brutality and breeds a lack of humanity the longer that it goes on. That said, I mean, it would be so easy. It's so easy to say when, again, you remove all of the elements of like, look at the discourse today, right? And look at all the things that people would be potentially willing to fight for today. And some of it seems very justified as you're having a civil dispute about it or a civil argument about it. It seems like, no, this is worth fighting for. But like, I don't know. If you're an American today, you sit down and think about what could the president do today that would make you think that's a step too far? And think about like, are you willing to fight against that? I don't know. I feel like those are the kinds of questions that like this movie doesn't really concern itself with asking, but it's the ones that I think people will have a hard time not asking themselves.
I think the vagueness, again, going back to it, is going to be a detriment to a lot of people. But I think that, again, if you dissect what it's trying to do, there are scenes where it really shows, is this worth it, you know, with all the divisiveness. So the scene that I'm thinking about specifically is when they're at a hotel. There are two soldiers and there's one person caught between a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And the journalists are with them and, you know, you don't really ever see who's shooting into them. But that's a really brutal scene. And again, you don't know who is who really. And all you see is just people shooting at people and people killing people. And all of these people just are terrified of the situation. And then there is the other scene that's really tense with the sniper and the Christmas runway. And, you know, they don't know who's on the other side that's shooting at them. And they go, man, all I know is that that person over there is trying to kill me and I'm trying to kill them. And that, I think, was a really good scene of, again, just showing you, like, we have no idea. And that neutrality of not having to pick a side, are they good, are they bad, and really kind of giving you the idea of what it could be like, is it makes you think if you mm-hmm. allow yourself to go down that route, yeah. rather than just being like, well, I don't know who the good guys are or the bad guys yeah. are, or like, whatever.
When you're right, but we have no idea. And, like, you know, I just as easily as I agree, David, that there would be militias everywhere, I also just as easily agree that, like, they would be completely incompetent and unable yeah. to really function, because we are not.
That's what makes them
more
dangerous.
We have no idea what it'd be like to yeah. live in a war-torn country. No idea.
Yeah, no, and I agree. That's
a lot of big tough
guys,
but they don't know what they're talking about.
The disorganization of it would make so you have, like, basically a crazy patchwork of, like, you have no idea what you're walking into at any given moment. At least when someone, like, declares, hey, this is this, it's like, okay, all of that place is unsafe, all of that place is with us. But, like, you could be walking, you could be in one city and they could be pro DC, and then you walk in the next city and they're anti DC, and you walk into a place that's anti both of those, like, you know, so, like, you really don't know. And then but more or less what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get at too, is just, I think that there are going to be people who, I'm really interested to see what the general discourse is coming out of the movie, because I've not read that many other reviews yet. But I am interested, because I don't know, there's going to be some people. So one of the things they hint at that the president did was ordered airstrikes against Americans, which mm-hmm. is a pretty bad guy thing to do. So I feel like we keep saying there's no good guys or bad guys. I mean, clearly the president is in an authoritarian sort of situation. So clearly a bad guy thing to do. But I think that there, for some people, there's going to be people saying, like, it's a president does airstrikes on American citizens. Like, yeah, we should try to take him down. Like, I think that's just going to be a lot of people's opinion. And so, like, anti-war is a really hard nut to crack, because there are certain things that a person could do or a country could do or whatever that just seem like, well, justifiably, there's no other alternative than,
I think it's also
to try to take him down.
Sorry.
No, that's
I think it's a fun swerve. I don't know if it's a spoiler. I hope not, because we didn't announce it. But I think it's a fun swerve to not have the president be the hero. You know, war movies yeah. that involve America, the wow. president is the one you rally around, hashtag right. Bill Paxton, Bill Pullman, yeah. you know. In this one, he starts off giving this speech, and you could, you know, again, you're not necessarily given context clues until throughout the movie. So you're hearing what he's saying, and, you know, you start off seeing the president talking about victory and Civil War, and it's like, man, you think Lincoln. That's where you go. That's where your brain tells you to go, is like,
yeah.
he is the one that is trying to, you know, unify and unite. And then over context, you learn, maybe not. And I think that was a fun kind of a twist on what you might expect from a movie
thought the same
involving
thing.
America and the president.
And even for that role to be like a small role, like, it's not even, Nick Offerman isn't even in the movie that much. So it's not like they put a lot of effort, a lot of like you said, Josh, they do not spend time with a lot of soldiers as characters. They do not spend a lot of time with military leaders or the president or the leader who have these other secessionist groups. Like, everything is centralized on Kirsten Dunst and the other journalists in that group. You're getting a very, like, ground level experience from their perspective.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's start steering toward the end here and talking about any final key elements of this movie that you guys wanted to, if there's anything you wanted to add or discuss that we've missed.
I do think that the performances are great. Again, we've talked about them kind of individually, but, like, collectively and individually, they are really well driven. Kirsten Dunst gives a great performance. I think Kaylee Spaney is really good. Sammy, the actor who plays Sammy, was so had moments of just there's one moment I'm not going to spoil, but, like, you'll know it if you go see this movie, where, oh my goodness, Sammy, and then, oh my goodness, Sammy, and then, oh my goodness, Sammy. And then, that scene with Jesse Plemons was very tense, and he really brought a lot of holy crap to the short amount of time that he was in it.
Yeah. Sammy as a character, as soon as I wrote as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh man, this guy's gonna break my heart. I could just feel it. Mm-hmm. He's a nice old man. Kirsten Dunst, good solid base to build your movie around. Again, like you said, Josh, not usually used for a star power situation, but you know, it's a solid hand to have as your lead in that role, and she carried the movie really well. I don't know how you pronounce his name, Wagner.
But I don't know.
Wagner Moura as Joel. Honestly, yeah. Didn't really like him that much. I said he seems like the kind of guy that gets people killed in zombie movies. He's like he has this great idea. Let's go interview the president on the day before he gets capped. And I'm like,
listen, you
is
work
that
with
a good
news
idea?
People. You work with news people. You know that there's one idiot in your newsroom that's going to be like, that's the story that we need right there. We got to get it.
Good luck. You will not be taking anybody. You're not even taking me along. But I was like, I don't know. I thought his idea was kind of crazy. And then I'll shout out as well. Jesse Plemons is also good. Kaylee Spaney, who I don't really know much about. She was Priscilla Presley in Priscilla last year. She was good. I had no idea how old her character was supposed to be. Apparently, as an actress, she's 25, but I thought the character was like 16. So that was throwing me for a loop. But she also did very good, and she actually comes kind of like the heart of the movie by the end of it. So,
yeah, I would agree. All really great performances in this movie. No notes. All right. Well, we'll call that a wrap on Civil War, and let's go ahead and switch gears here into the Letterboxd game. Each episode on the Letterboxd game, we are all going to take a shot at guessing what the average score of this movie, Civil War, is currently among the Letterboxd community. Now, a couple things to note ahead of this one. This is a fresh movie, so the score could be a little impacted by that. We don't know how it might level out over time, so keep that in mind. That this is a very fresh take for our perspectives. But we're going to take a guess on that 0 to 5 scale. See who gets closest. I'm in the lead right now, which is rare, but I'm going to take the win as I can and go first. David and Garrett are tied, and with an off-screen coin flip, it has been determined that Garrett will go second after me, followed by David finally. So, let's get started here. I'm going to read a few reviews of reviews of Civil War from Letterboxd users. Now, this top one is going to, a lot of people are going to find this one relatable. We talked about it a lot. This is 4.5 stars from Tyler. I genuinely want to know what the president did that made Texas and California join forces. A lot of people are going to want to know that. Then we've got 4 stars from Cinema Joe. Should I be shocked that a movie titled Civil War confidently stays apolitical while still co-opting imagery and vernacular from our very real reality? Yes, but in a way, I'm not. 4 stars. Real hero was Kaylee Spaney for managing to do all of that in skinny jeans. And then finally, 4 stars, a 2-hour anxiety-inducing trip.
Interesting. Interesting. You know, we talked about it. I didn't have as much anxiety as I thought I was going to have.
Yeah, I had more, but that's for
very, very
day.
Tense moments. Very, very tense moments.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Josh, you being first, get to go last. It's just been so long since you've been in the lead that you forgot. I think you said you went first.
I'm not.
You're in the lead, which means you go last.
Oh, you're right. I forgot.
Yeah,
the advantage of losers. It's been a while since.
Not bad. I got all tongue-tied. Yeah. I reversed. Yeah, reversed you. Yes, because they are tied. An off-screen coin flip determined Garrett would go first.
Yeah,
not second after me.
Josh is used
I will
to going
go
first. Is the thing
last? I'm used to going first because I usually suck. That's what I meant. We're back on track.
We wouldn't say that.
No.
But the record would.
Well, Garrett, what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like this one, I mean, it is new, and that always, like, errs on the higher side. But I think it's going to be so, like, weirdly controversial. I'm going to go with a 3.9.
Ooh, that's a good guess. That's a good guess. I don't know what it's got on Rotten Tomatoes so far, but I saw it got a B minus cinema score. So I'm going to say, I'm going to be in that same range. I'm going to say 3.8 on Letterboxd right now.
I think we're dangerously close to making the same guesses last week on the show.
Probably.
For a completely different movie, even.
Yeah.
So I'm going to not do that obvious thing and just do 3.7. I'm not doing that. I'm going to go... I guess I'll try to go higher and just see if maybe that early opening boost will help it out, and I'm going to go 4.1 just because I don't want to be even with you guys.
Good job. 4.1. Okay. I like this. We got to shake up our system.
Let's shake it up.
Here.
Let's shake it up.
There's no tiebreaker scenario here either. So
no, yeah. No. Okay, so we got 3.8 from 3.9 from Garrett, 3.8 from David, and 4.1 from me. Let's see who got it right. Okay, we have another direct hit among us, and it's David.
Yay!
Oh no!
With a 3.8, that is where the Letterboxd community is currently sitting on Civil War. I believe. Did you get one last week too?
No, you won last week. You got a Swiss Army Man.
I feel like recently you got a double.
Oh, I did. The Sting was a double for me. Actually,
yeah, that's right.
This is going to piss you guys off. Every win I've had this year has been a direct hit.
God. Makes no difference to me.
It makes
only,
a huge
only
difference.
In the sense that he gets 2 points for it. Does it make a difference to me?
Because
makes no difference to me.
See, actually, we've had a pretty high number of direct hits this year. Garrett's had a direct hit. Josh has had two. I've had three. So we've had a lot of... We've been pretty, you know, in line with Letterboxd. We know what they're thinking.
We do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us this week. We still got more A24 goodness coming up for you this month. So, again, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe in your podcast tab if you like to listen to the show that way. We're on pretty much all of them. You can go to somanysequels.com and find all of our past episodes there, as well as links to those podcast apps and some of our social media channels. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. That'll do it for us this week. We will see you guys next time.